The Word of God. Where would we be without it? We've been walking through the book of Acts, and we're almost towards the end. There's only four more messages to go. And we come across this passage where Paul is on ship as a prisoner to go to Rome to ultimately testify to Caesar. And when Paul will ultimately testify before Caesar, God will fulfill his promise. He will fulfill his spoken word of getting him there before the Gentile kings. And ultimately getting the gospel, the good news, to the heart of Rome. And today, these verses focus on transportation of Paul from one area to another, getting him further down the goal line to that point where he will stand before Caesar and share the good news. And I think our tendency is to run through this passage in our own daily Bible reading. We run through this passage and other passages like it because it's just filled with action verbs. It's just filled with lots of different names of places that we can't even pronounce. But there's some good truth in here today. And I'm just going to let you know what the central truth is at the top here. No matter what storms may come in life, Jesus is the anchor of our soul. No matter what storms may come in our life, Jesus will always be that anchor for our soul. And I'm not naive to think that today, sitting in these seats, are people with real hurts, going through real storms, things that you're still dealing with, you know, that maybe are still tender, 3 years old, 5 years old, even 10 years old. But then others who are just currently in the middle of the storm and just not sure what to do, not sure how to respond. And so my hope is that today you will see God in all of his glory, that you would be compelled to take a step closer to him in faith, and that you would see that he is using the storms of life to make his great name known to all nations, to all peoples, that God uses these storms ultimately for his good, for his purposes, that his glory would be made known to all nations. I was immersed in the text this week and didn't really know how to articulate the theme. The storms come in life, we get that. And Jesus is the what? You know, he's the what? Is he the fortress in the middle of an ocean? No. You know, all the different metaphors that we have. Our strong tower, our firm foundation. Remember all those metaphors? Well, what do you do when you're at sea and you're in the middle of the tempest? Who is God? And there's a new tune out, a new worship tune by Michael W. Smith. He's like pushing 50, but he keeps on writing some goodies. And you may have heard it, but I was listening to that song this morning. What's it called again, Eric? No, it wasn't it. See, it's you think it's the title is the anchor of my soul, but it's something else. But anyway, it's the constant refrain is, you are the anchor of my soul. And I was driving in listening to that, and maybe just in the context of preparing this message today, but it got a hold of my heart. And the truth of this message coupled with the truth of that song, I was just crying like a little baby in my car coming to work today. I'm going to worship. But I just want you to feel this in your heart. I want you to latch hold of it with your minds today. That when we're in the middle of the storm, whatever it may be, he's our anchor. Ships would actually drop anchor in the storm to help them. And it wasn't necessarily a hook grabbing hold of the bottom. It was just that long chain that went all the way down to the depths and anchored them, the actual chain keeping them steady because it doesn't move too much underneath. You picture it in your head. And so it's that long chain that just goes down deeper and deeper. And this is a metaphor for our relationship with God. How deep are we in God's strength and God's power and God's mighty hand when the storms of life come? All right, I'm going to stop babbling and move into our points today. We read the passage, so we're dealing with two different things that I want to point out. How do we trust the Lord? Why do we trust the Lord in the midst of the storm? First of all, we trust Jesus in the midst of the storm because Jesus is always in control of the storm. We put our faith in Jesus, not in other things, because we know that Jesus is in control of the storm. When we look at Paul's journey, we have a map up here. He starts out in Jerusalem. He has a long distance to travel to get to Rome. And that's a lot of traveling on sea, something that I've never done and don't really want to do. And as we read these verses, just half of the story, we're going to finish the second half next week. But if we just read these first 26 verses going from port to port and through it all dealing with the winds and ultimately the tempest. And it just goes from bad to worse. In verse 4, he says, the winds were against us. Then it gets to verse 9, and Luke actually writes, the voyage was now dangerous. And in verse 14, but soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. It just gets worse and worse. And the question for us, we might not be on a boat, we might not be in a literal hurricane, but we have these storms that we're in the middle of. How do we react? How do you and I react in the midst of life's storms? For many, many, we just kind of ride it out. Verse 15, we gave way to it and we're driven along. You know, what is our reaction to life's storms? We just kind of go with it. Just ride it out. Sometimes we fight just to stay alive. Verse 18, since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. Verse 19, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. They undergirded the entire ship with ropes so that it wouldn't bust up. Sometimes we're in it and we're fighting for it. But then, guys, let's be truthful. Verse 20, sometimes we just lose hope. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. You ever been there? Just at the bottom in the darkness and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel and you just want to check out. Because it seems as if there is no hope. You been there? I've been there. And I know some of you there right now. Not on a ship, but in life right now. And sometimes it's natural disasters, not in Arizona. We might have a drought, supposedly, but you know, we're not going to have hurricanes, tornadoes, or anything else. But in Arizona, sin has not corrupted just the world and the elements. Sin has not just corrupted, you know, wind and fire and volcano and all that kind of stuff. It's corrupted us as creation as well. We're part of that creation. So our bodies, our health, our ailments. Some of you are experiencing little storms in your life just because you realize you're getting older. I'm turning 38 next week. And I know that's not that old for some of you. But I'm over the hill. I'm on the other side now, you know? And I'm starting to feel it. It's not a crisis. It's not a storm. But some of you have dealt with it, and some of you will dealt with it. We all will, actually. The storm of just getting older and something happening. Sometimes it's just seasonal, right? The storms come and just seasons, just like the north winds and the winter winds and all of that. You know, the kids go back to school and it's a nightmare for about 4 weeks until we get used to it again, right? Soccer season, taking into practice. Seasons. Just natural seasons of life create storms, do they not? New job. Changes at the job. Sometimes it's injustice that causes the storm. Right? In Paul's case, he's a prisoner. We kind of forgot that reading this. He's actually a prisoner on a boat being shipped to stand trial before the emperor. Sometimes the storm in life is just injustice. Have you been there? Being slighted, actually experiencing corruption, standing before a judge and justice doesn't occur. Some of us have actually had that taken place. Sometimes, guys, it's just stupid people. Right? For Paul, he's sitting on the ship and he told them, this is going to go bad for you if you weigh the anchor and you go out to sea again. This is going to go bad for us. But the owner and the captain did it anyway. Sometimes our storms are because of stupid people. And listen next. Sometimes the storms are because the stupid people are ourselves. Right? Sometimes we create our own storms. Now, we don't want to own that. But before you go around blaming the devil, look in the mirror. But sometimes it is the enemy. Now, through it all though, regardless of what your storm is, through it all, the Lord is in control of the storm. He's in control of the storm. I want to take you back in your mind to the Gospels. Our Lord and Savior. We have two different stories of our Lord and Savior demonstrating that He is in control of the storm. At one point in Jesus' ministry, He actually calmed the storm. A great indication that Jesus is more than just a man. He is God. He had authority and has authority and always will have authority over creation itself. He spoke creation into existence, we're told in Colossians, and He also speaks now and has control over everything. In another occasion, He doesn't just calm the storm. He lets the storm rage. And instead, He shows His majesty and His glory by walking on it. Walking on, walking in, walking through the storm. And this is the one that we follow. And in that same story, what happens? He calls out Peter. He says, Peter, come out. Peter, come here. Peter gets out of the boat and he walks for a bit. One of the best things about the Son of God movie is their visual for this particular part of Jesus' ministry. And in that movie, his eyes are on Christ. His eyes are on Christ. His eyes are on Christ. And then there's like a lightning bolt and he looks around. He hears the lightning bolt. He looks around. He sees the waves. And he just plummets. And guys, the storm is around us, but we got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because He's in control of it. He is sovereign over it. The question, why does He call Paul or Peter out to walk with Him on the water? He would be glorified. And why does He call us into the storm? I know this is different kind of thinking for you, but I believe God calls us into the storm. He allows it and He even creates it sometimes, but He calls us into the storm to follow Him that He would be glorified to the nations. That God would use that story to encourage others to see the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Because guys, when we are at our weakest, in the midst of the storm, when we are at our weakest, He is made most strong. Amen. And guys, he needs to put us in the storm. He needs his glory to be shown through us in the midst of the storm. Because here's the truth. Millions and billions of people are trying to make it through their own storms. They might put on good faces, but behind closed doors, there's a storm. And they need to see that God is in the midst of the storm. So, we must be willing to get past ourselves in the storm and see God's purpose in the storm, that his glory would be made known to our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends and family. The tempest, the tumult of the waves is great, but Jesus' love is much greater. Amen. Second, we must remember that Jesus is always with us through the storm. Jesus is always with us through the storm. He controls the storm. He's in control of the storm. He reigns over the storm. But guys, he is also with us through the storm. The truth of the matter is that the storms of life are never going to go away. This side of heaven, there are going to be storms. But he leads us through them. He sometimes carries us through them. Always. How? First, how does he carry us through the storms? First, through the church. How are we to navigate life storms? First, we do so through the encouragement of our brothers and sisters. You see, in this book of Acts, when we get to the life of Paul, we forget that Paul didn't write this book. Who wrote this book, church? Luke. And we just sometimes forget that Paul's not alone. Through his entire journey, Luke is standing by his side. He's got a companion. He's got a brother in Christ. And Paul is not going this alone. He always has companions, but at the very least, he has Luke with him through this trial as well. In verse 3, we read, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. In the midst of these little storms, there's reprieve. And Paul gets encouragement from his brothers and sisters, from the local church. Guys, here's one of the important truths of today's word. If you are not connected to God's people, who's going to be there for you in the midst of the storm? If you are not connecting with the church, if you're not involved with the church, and guys, is the church the steeple? The church is the people. If you are not connected, then who's going to have your back? Whose arm are you going to cry on? Whose voice of encouragement are you going to receive? We need each other. And we need to be there for each other. Amen? You see, some people in this culture, a lot of the younger generation, we don't need church. I can do church. I can have communion at a bar. I mean, just ridiculous statements. And these statements are birthed out of selfishness in what we can receive. But the church is also for what we can give. And so we gather together, yes, to receive, but also to give and to support one another. Amen? So I want to encourage you, if you have not gotten connected like you could, consider the need. Because I'm telling you, there's another storm coming. There always will be. Number two, Jesus is always with us through the storm, through providence. In verse 8, we read that we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmon. I'm not a sailor. I had to look this up, but the word lee is basically a shelter. These little islands had big cliffs, and so what they did is they sailed close to the shore, and they used those cliffs as a buffer against the tempestuous winds. In the midst of our storms, guys, God is going to give us reprieves. Providentially, He's going to step in there, and He's going to give us moments to catch our breath again. Does that make sense? This happens several times. Running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. God providentially intercedes. Those moments when it's not coincidence, and it just so happens. You've been there, right? And God is glorified in inserting his mighty hand, reaching down and just helping. He doesn't always pull us out, but He makes His presence known. And in those moments when God intercedes and moves mountains or provides the right person at just the right time, even in the midst of the storm, it should cause us to worship. Because we see He's in control. Number three, Jesus is always with us through the storm, through His Word. We have the church. We have His providential hand at work in our lives. And guys, we also have the very words of God. In the midst of the storm, how will we react? Where will we go? We need to go to the Word of God. In this particular story, it's the angel, God's messenger, showing up. Okay, that has not happened to me yet. But the angel was God's messenger, and it was representative of God Himself coming down and speaking with His people. In verse 23, there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And what did he say, guys? And what does he always say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He did not say, hey, I'm going to stop blowing and the wind's going to stop and you're going to have smooth sailing from here on out. He didn't say any of that. When we get to verse 26, he said, you're going to be running aground. You're going to be shipwrecked. There's a big but at the beginning of verse 26. But what has he said? What does he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why? Number one, this statement out of the angel's mouth, number one, it shows that God is faithful to His promises. Aren't you so glad that God is faithful to His promises? What promise are you referring to, Scott? Verse 24, you must stand before Caesar. This is nothing new. When we first meet Paul, this was what God told him back in chapter 9, verse 15, talking to Paul, calling him out for a purpose, a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles and kings. God made a promise to Paul at the beginning of his ministry, at the beginning of his salvation, and God's not done yet. He's going to see that to fruition. So, first, it shows that God is faithful to His promises, and number two, it shows that God is going to deliver everyone on this ship, not just Him. Do not be afraid. I keep my promises. Do not be afraid. I'm going to go beyond my promises. I'm going to show you an act of God. I'm going to deliver everyone. I'm going to make my glory known to these people, to these men on this ship. And this story will be told 2,000 years later in churches all across America and the world. Verse 24, look at it. God has granted you all those who sail with you. That word granted is actually the verbal form of the word grace. And we know what grace is, right? Grace is God's love for us. It's undeserved. It's his loving kindness shed down upon us without anything that we did to receive it. And so what is God saying here? God has chosen to grace not only Paul, but all these men. And guys, when we're in the storm, when we're in the storm, we trust him. We're encouraged by his presence with us. And we put our trust in the fact that God's going to use this storm to bring glory to his name and grace. And to share his grace with others around us in the midst of it. And because of this, Paul can stand before this crew, before these two words of encouragement, Paul can stand before the men of this crew, and he can say, I urge you, verse 22, I urge you to what? To take heart. Literally translated, to cheer up. We don't use that phrase much anymore in America, right? I urge you, cheer up. Your heart that's been heavy, dragging on the floor, let God's word and promise lift it up. Take heart, cheer up. No loss among you, just the ship. What does this mean? What does this mean for us? I have never been visited by an angel that I know of. Okay? Hebrews 13:2 says, always be hospitable because you don't know if you're ministering to an angel unawares. We see that in the Old Testament. Maybe one of us has entertained an angel and we didn't know it. I don't know. But that's not the point for us today. The point is, it means that God is still in the business of speaking today. If it's not through his angel, it's through his very word. It's through the church. It's through his Holy Spirit. God is always speaking to us. What does it mean for us today? It means get into the word. Don't just call your friend and say, this crisis is going on, pray for me. First, go to God. Get on your knees, go to God and get in his word and examine what his word says. Stand on the foundation of his word, not someone else's words. Because his words always are fulfilled. And let me show you how this plays out, okay? I've had a rough couple weeks. My parents came in visiting with us, and my dad just said, you know, last week you sounded like this on the phone, very down. And then Christy and I just talking, and, you know, again, I'm getting older, so you examine your life a little bit. Kids are getting older. But when God gives you those moments where it's a little bit calmer and the storms aren't circling, you have time to reflect on what God's doing. And I have to be honest that our family's been through a lot this last year. And sometimes I think it's the same with you. We're faithful to God and we've given God everything. We've gone all in with God. And we just keep plugging along. Our eyes are on Jesus, you know. But then you take them off and you realize, man, over the last year, what we've gone through a lot. Are you tracking with me? You feeling me, right? Just you look around. You take the time to look around and you realize, man, we really have been through a lot this year. And so it's encouraging to me that realizing, hey, I'm having storms. What does that mean? That I have this providential quick exchange with Jim Brown last week, singling you out, Jim. And just he casually informed me that he's going to be finishing up his second reading of the Bible all the way through. And I'm just sharing that encouraged me greatly, because when Jim and I used to get together 4 years, he had never done that. He set that as a goal. And you just get used to going on with life. And what really surprised me about Jim's comment is just it's number two. He's on his second go-around. Like, I had forgotten all about the first one. And I'm just kind of, well, he did it the first time and probably won't do it again or whatever. But no, he's been reading it. And I just want to connect the dots here, okay? Jim being in the Word encouraged me to be in the Word. Okay? In the midst of the storm, guys, be in the Word. Dig deep into the Word. Not the words of other people or the words of the world. His Word. All right. Pivoting, finishing up here. Why does God cause us to go through the storm? Why does God cause us to go through the storm? Now listen, the question is not why do we have storms? That's not what we're talking about today. We have storms because of sin, because of sinners, and because of Satan. We're going to have storms. The question is, why does God cause us to go through the storm? First, to reveal His glory. The storms of life teach us that we're not in control. And as Americans, we need to be taught over and over again that we are not in control. We are part of something much bigger. He is in control. And although we don't understand all the implications of that, it should cause us to fall on our knees in awe and worship a God who's bigger than we are. Amen. The storm should cause us to fall on our knees and just worship a God who's bigger than we are. We don't understand why, but we know He is ginormously powerful. And He's for us. So, the Way Fellowship Church exists to love Jesus in the storm. To worship. To declare His glory. Number two, why? Why the storm? Number two, to strengthen our faith. The storm not only teaches us that we're not in control, it also teaches us that we must depend upon the one who is. It teaches us that we need to put our faith in Him. Because nothing else delivers in this life. Jesus called Peter out of the boat into the storm, and He's calling each of us into deeper waters as well. Why? That we might more fully depend upon Him. To teach us what it means to live in faith. The problem, though, and I've said it time and time again, when the storms of life come, how do people typically react? They, A, bury their heads in the sand and pretend nothing's going on. You know those people? The storms of life, choice one, bury your head in the sand and just pretend it's going to all blow over. Hope for the best, right? Number two, run away from God. Run to that person's friend, to that program, to that new thing, to that purchase, to that service. We run away from God, or number three, we run to God. In the midst of life's storms, what are you going to do? How are you going to react? Guys, I'm encouraging you to step forward in faith. And trust the one who's in control and the one who's walking with you through it all. To follow Jesus into the storm, through the storm. And last, how do we respond? To proclaim His glory to the nations. Why the storm? So that His glory would be proclaimed among the nations. Our trust in Him during the storm glorifies His name. People don't understand why we would continue to trust Him when we got cancer. People don't understand why we would continue to trust Him when our kids just go take a nosedive. People don't understand why we would trust Him when we lose our job. And the list goes on and on. But they're staring at us and they're watching us. So listen carefully, I'm almost done. Our trust in Him during the storm glorifies Him, and our trust in Him after the storm glorifies Him as well. Because He brings us out of the storms. And He puts us in positions of influence where people can see His mighty hand at work. Can see His deliverance at work through us, through our faithfulness to Him. Verse 25, one more time. So take heart, cheer up, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told. But we must run aground on some island. But sometimes we have to be run against the island. I don't know why. But we trust that God would be glorified in it, and that we would learn to trust Him more, and that we would have an opportunity to worship Him more. Central truth today, no matter what storms may come in life, Jesus is that anchor for our soul. Why must we go through the storms? So that we would have a greater love for Jesus. So that we would have a greater desire to follow Jesus. So that we would have greater opportunities to share Jesus. So that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You that Your word is the rock upon which we can stand. Lord, we trust Your words, Your truth, and Your purposes. Lord, help us to trust You in the how of how You're doing all that, Lord. Help us to know that You are in control, and help us to know that You're beside us through it all, Lord. And Lord, help us to help others with that as well. Because I know we got a lot of people here hurting today. So Lord, may You work in Your church that we would love You, but we would love each other. That we would step into deeper waters of faith with You, and that Your glory would be made known to more and more people. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.